from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. The Republican-controlled Missouri General Assembly spent the last couple of sessions with an intense focus on restricting the rights of trans people. Some of the bills that either received extensive time or extensive floor time include restrictions on bathroom access and medical care for trans children. A near total ban on gender-affirming care for minors passed in 2023, despite testimony from doctors, families, and trans children who contended these laws are pushing them to leave the state. With Republicans firmly in control of the General Assembly, Missouri's LGBTQ community is remaining vigilant as lawmakers prepare to return to Jefferson City in January. Here to talk about what's coming up in the legislature for the trans community, I'm joined by Katie Erker Lynch. She is the executive director of policy and advocacy organization, or advocacy for Promo Missouri. Katie, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks so much for having us.
And we also have in studio Shira Berkowitz. They are the Senior Director of Public Policy and Advocacy at Promo. Shira, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Two Republican lawmakers, Senator Mike Moon and Representative Justin Sparks, have filed similar bills to revoke the driver's license of a person who had their gender marker changed. This is notable because it is targeting a process that has existed for years as a form that is operated by the Missouri Department of Revenue. Promo actually helped the department update that form in 2016, and all that changed in the last couple of months. Can you talk to us about this change and what these bills would do, basically?
Yeah. Kind of at the center of that change is Representative Sparks. He worked with the Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, to remove the form quietly overnight for any individual to be able to change the gender marker on their driver's license. That form was put in place to meet the need of transgender, gender-expansive Missourians to have a very easy way or a simple way to align their identity documents with their gender expression, gender identity, without necessarily also changing their name if that was not something that they were interested in.
So when this came about in 2016, like, what was the process before then, and how did the process change for somebody that wanted to change their gender marker on their identification?
The process before then is something that is the same process that is occurring right now or being asked to occur right now, where individuals have to get a court order or have a notarized document from their physician or surgeon indicating that they had gender-affirming surgery that goes towards a court order to then have the DOR change their gender marker on their identification. And the process is expensive, it's daunting, it's not easily understood how most individuals could even get a court order if you needed one. And so the process was supposed to, one, expand the idea that, like, not every transgender individual wants to have surgery in order to live in the body that they know themselves to be and have that align with their gender identity. There is a huge safety need for your identification mm-hmm. to match who you are. And so this process allowed that to happen without having to have bodily interventions.
What have either of you heard from trans people who are affected by this change, and how is it affecting their lives when they can't use this form anymore?
I mean, we heard this happened quietly overnight, and we heard less than 24 hours into the process of it being changed that people were being sent letters or being turned away from being able to use the form to be on this process or in line in this journey that they were already on and were being denied documents that they were expecting to have in their hand 1 to 10 days since the change was made.
This happened right before the election as well. And we had someone who voted with a temporary ID that had their updated gender marker. They were able to vote on the rolls. Then they received a letter in the mail that their gender marker was being reverted and that Form 5532 was no longer accepted. So that's how quickly it happened and how just one example of how people have been impacted.
I have in my hand a letter that has not only been signed by Promo, but a number of other groups addressed to Wayne Wallingford. He's a former senator and a former representative who now is in charge of the Department of Revenue. Could you talk about this letter and what it's asking for and what would happen if the form we've been talking about that has been in place since 2016 doesn't come back?
Yeah. You know, for years, mutual aid groups have been assisting trans and non-binary and gender expansive Missourians with changing their gender markers because, as Shira pointed out, it is really cumbersome. It's really burdensome and a little bit dehumanizing, to be honest, what people have to go through already. But to require surgery in order to alter a gender marker, this letter argues, represents a grave misunderstanding of what it means to be transgender or non-binary. And we have, with other organizations, reached out to Director Wallingford asking for conversation and not had that. We have asked for a reinstatement of Form 5532. We've asked for the state of Missouri to accept the real ID and to accept passports or to develop an alternative form or procedure that recognizes that whether a person does or does not undergo surgery has no correlation with whether they are transgender, what their gender identity and expression is.
In this letter, it says you're asking for a response within 7 days. Like, when I see a deadline for a response, it usually means if there's not a response, something is going to happen. Yeah. Is it possible that, like, there could be litigation or a lawsuit over this?
I think that we will exhaust every option to make sure that trans and non-binary Missourians have the resources that they need to go about their everyday. IDs are essential, but especially for trans and non-binary folks to be able to access what they need daily. You'll see that there are 10 groups here who are really concerned about the safety of trans and non-binary Missourians. And we put in the 7 days because action needs to take place on the department within the Department of Revenue. But also, we have trans folks who are trying to travel, who are trying to get to their families, who are trying to get to their chosen families during the holidays. But also, want to name, we're approaching a new federal administration where trans and non-binary people feel a great amount of fear. And so we have made multiple inquiries. We've done sunshine requests and not gotten the responses that are adequate. And that's why we put in this timeline.
I want to ask about, like, how your organization and other organizations are helping people. Promo, I think, started a program called the ID for Me. What does it do? Who are you hoping to assist?
I can speak to ID for Me. As Shira mentioned, immediately after the removal of Form 5532, we heard from folks who said, I don't know what to do. Your website tells me that this is how I can change my gender marker. What's happening? So we began to collect stories from folks across the state so that we could put them in touch with mutual aid groups, with lawyers, with paralegals. And the St. Louis Gender Marker, Name and Gender Marker Change Group has been an incredible resource run by Keith Rose and volunteers, completely volunteer run and through mutual aid support to help people navigate what's become an even more challenging situation.
Now, obviously, this is not the only bill that would affect the trans community. There's another one from Representative Kathy Jo Loy, a freshman lawmaker from the Joplin area, and it seeks to define gender in state statutes in a very specific way. I think it kind of dovetails with some national legislation from South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace. Mm-hmm. Can either of you talk about what that is and why it would be significant if it ended up passing?
There's a significant number of statutes in any state and in our Constitution federally that talk about men and women and designates a binary of sexes. To codify how that definition is specified to sex and not inclusive of gender would essentially eradicate transgender people from being able to see themselves under the law or participate in daily life. So it's an erasure mechanism.
It doesn't seem like Missouri is the only state that's doing it. As I mentioned, this comes kind of on the heels of like national agitation among some Republicans. Like, how do you kind of see the national political environment affecting things like this? Because I don't think this is happening in a vacuum, basically. As we saw with the gender-affirming care ban for minors, Missouri wasn't the only state that passed that. It was passed by a number of states where Republicans controlled state government.
Yeah, as you point out, we're one of 24 states now that ban some form of gender-affirming care. Uniquely, we are one of few that bans or restricts care both for adolescents and adults. And we could enumerate the many bills that we're looking at in 2025 that we saw in 2024. But the reality is Missouri has been a testing ground for Project 2025 since our first bathroom bill was introduced 8 years ago. And the question of kind of where is this coming from is we've seen Christian nationalist groups like the Heritage Foundation, Alliance Defending Freedom, Focus on the Family, crafting these bills, shopping them around and disseminating them. And so like lawmakers in Texas, Oklahoma, and Florida, lawmakers in Missouri have continued to try to advance and escalate these attacks. The bill you referenced a moment ago boils people down to our ability to have fertility and to have our reproductive organs. And it sets in place a binary that, as Shira mentioned, is not only dehumanizing, but seeks to censor and silence and, I think, eradicate people from our state. And I want to be clear about the political violence in those bills and in that language.
So Missouri is a state that is run by the Republican Party right now, both on an executive level and a legislative level. And I would say the vast majority of the legislators are going to support bills like this, but not all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, incoming House Speaker John Patterson was one of the few Republicans to vote against the gender-affirming care ban for minors and also some adults that we just referenced. I talked with Governor Mike Kehoe last year about how he voted for a non-discrimination act in 2013. I know Governor Parson did too. And then he said, you know, Republicans need to be more accepting of LGBTQ people and need to be less hostile toward them because generationally, like, he's not a millennial like me, but people who are my age see things differently than him. And he got like scathing response from other Republicans, but he has stood by those comments. So I'm asking this because I understand they're going to be in different pressures, and they neither Patterson nor Kehoe have perfect records when it comes to this slate of issues. But does that give you a little bit more and less pessimism that these people are going to be in charge of the legislative and executive branch?
It does give us more than pessimism, I would say. They're very reasonable individuals who, Patterson specifically, he's a physician himself. He knows the government shouldn't be regulating what his licensing boards tell him is medicine. And it's a slippery slope. So I think there's a significant number of Republicans who do see where government overreach occurs inside of these debates and what they have but willingness or capacity to halt and get back to the things that matter most to Missourians or to themselves as lawmakers.
Katie, in the last 20 or 30 seconds, what do you think about that?
What gives me hope is that we have 5 elected officials in the Missouri State Legislature who identify as queer or trans and non-binary, and that we not only have visibility, but people with lived experiences who are impacted, who I know are going to be fighting alongside a Patterson who doesn't want to harm LGBTQ plus Missourians, but wants to focus on the real issues impacting everyday Missourians.
Katie Erker-Lynch is the executive director of Provo Missouri, and Shira Berkowitz is the senior director of public policy and advocacy at Provo. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.